Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Confidence is a preference of the habitual voyeur of what is known as the UK Tech Weekly Podcast. Good day, listener. Welcome to this freshly baked batch of the UK Tech Weekly Podcast, the UK's premium weekly tech podcast, siphoned into your ear holes every Friday like a fresh batch of snake oil. This is the UK Tech Weekly Podcast, a weekly splurge of infotainment from the editors of PC Advisor, Techworld, Macworld UK and Computerworld UK. Every Friday we head to an audio zoo, taunting and pulling faces at caged audio lions, audio zebras and audio penguins, in order to bring you no more than 40 minutes of informed tech chat on the hot tech topics of the past 7 days. Don't forget to subscribe, review and tell your friends. I'm Matt Egan, Editorial Director of IDG UK, and today I'm delighted to be joined in conversation by the audio lion that is Chris Martin, Consumer Tech Editor of PC Advisor.
Hello.
The verbal tiger that is Lewis Painter, Staff Writer of PC Advisor and Macworld UK.
Hello.
And the insurance company's meerkat that is David Price, Acting Editor of Macworld UK.
All right. Does snake oil go in your ears?
No, but, you know, you could put it in your ears.
Good.
I think snake oil is just a generic term for
things that don't work.
Medicine that doesn't work, yeah.
I wouldn't put it in your ear, though.
No? Well,
I've had olive oil in my ear once.
My grandfather used to put olive oil on his hair as a styling product, and he also used to drink a cup of olive oil every time he went out boozing because it stopped him getting a hangover.
Wow.
Anyway, this week we are talking smartwatches, hoverboards, and Twitter. Nobody puts baby in the corner. Every bond you break, every step you take, I'll be watching you. Chris Martin, who's been getting smart about watches?
So Pebble has launched two new smartwatches and a third product. So I think it's his biggest launch to date, as in the most amount of products is done at the same time. Normally they just kind of do one at a time.
So Pebble famously was a Kickstarter that made a smartwatch.
Yeah, I'm going to hand over to Lewis because he's an original backer.
I was, yeah. I backed the first generation watch on.
Lewis is currently lighting a cigarette with a £50 note.
And I remember, yeah, because I remember it was you know, before the time of everyone having smartwatches, and it was the first real smartwatch that gave you notifications on your wrist and let you do all this kind of stuff. And I was like, that is what I want from a smartwatch. And obviously, compared to today's standards, it's a little bit basic, but I suppose that's why they're bringing out new ones.
But isn't the... possibly slightly drifting off topic here, but isn't the very basicness of that original Pebble quite cool in some ways? Because it does the stuff you want your smartwatch to do, and it doesn't have extraneous stuff you don't really need.
This is very true. I mean, it did help them keep the price down, because I think it was about £149 when it first came out. I mean, considering it was the first one on the market, really. You know,
some years ago. I mean, 2012, maybe? 2000?
Yeah, 2012. I think it was on Kickstarter in 2012, and it started shipping in 2013. Right. But I might be slightly wrong there, but I think that's, if my memory serves me well.
I think you're right.
So go on then, Chris. What have they announced this week?
So the first device is the Pebble 2, so it's a new version of the original. So it kind of looks slightly similar, slightly updated design, but it's got that kind of iconic look, I guess, what you'd say now. But they've added like stuff like a heart rate monitor, so it's a smartwatch and an activity tracker in one.
Hmm. And you said there were three products?
Yeah, so the other one is the new version of the Pebble Time. So that's the Pebble Time 2. So that's the more premium model,
right?
With a colour screen, bit bigger screen, and that also has a heart rate monitor. Some of the specs are kind of similar between the two. They're both water resistant to 30 metres. They both have the same activity tracking and the same heart rate monitor, but the battery life slightly varies. So the Pebble 2 will last a week, I think, and the Pebble Time 2 will last 10 days.
And there's a third product?
The third product is a new category, if you like. It's called the Pebble Core, and it's this tiny little Android box that's like basically the size of a key ring. And there's two versions of it, one for runners. So that comes with 3G, GPS, 4 gigabytes of internal storage, a headphone port, obviously, so you can listen to music while you're running.
Right.
And the whole idea of that is it clips onto your clothes and then you can go off running without your phone.
Sweet.
And you're doing all your
GPS
stuff.
Tracker without a phone is quite a big deal, actually.
And 3G, so you can stream Spotify right. straight to it, so you don't even need stuff on it to listen to. And then it will sync with various running apps
sure.
when you get back. And then the other version of the Pebble Core is the Pebble Core for hackers. So this...
That's what it's called?
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's meant in a kind of fun sense. In a sense
fun
that...
Fun hackers.
almost along the lines of the Raspberry Pi and the Microbit. It's kind of like, here's a cool little device and you can do what you want with it. It's your imagination. So there's a couple of buttons on it and you can program them to do what you want. So the possibilities are not necessarily endless, but the examples they're giving is you could program one to open your garage door if you've got an automatic door, or you could do something completely different, like get it to order you an Uber to your location.
Sure.
With just pushing one button.
So that sounds like it's a bit more of a PR exercise than anything else, but it sounds quite cool.
Yeah, it sounds really interesting. I'm trying to think what I would do with it, but I haven't actually come up with anything.
Get an Uber and then make its door open.
Yeah.
Combine the two. So, okay, but why should we be interested and excited about this? We kind of touched on this a bit before, I guess. Pebble is a pretty iconic name in the smartwatch world.
I think it's that, and I think Kickstarter gets something out of it as well, because every Pebble release has been funded via Kickstarter since the beginning, because, you know, it was one of the most successful Kickstarters ever when it was funded. And, you know, and with the launch last year, you know, that had
the 2015,
millions, yeah.
yeah, last year's launch set a record of $20 million
it's absolutely
on Kickstarter.
Insane.
This one's already gone past $7.5 million.
Wow.
And the watch is launched 2 days ago.
What an interesting business model as well, that they don't have to raise funding up front. They announce a product. So there's a bit of cash goes into R&D, I guess, but then they announce a product. And not only is the production funded by the Kickstarter, but also that's the publicity to an extent, isn't it, I guess?
Yeah.
Promotion.
So the target was $1 million and it's already $7.5 million. So it's like over 40,000 backers.
It always seems a bit weird, though, isn't it, that the most successful Kickstarter projects are projects that don't need Kickstarter.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I can see, as you said, I can see why they've done it this way.
At times I've thought, oh, this is a bit unfair, because, like, it feels like something that should be for kind of companies making their first product, and they kind of need that, whereas it feels a bit unfair.
They could afford to bankrupt themselves, surely.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not. I mean,
I don't know.
But also... I don't know. I think there's something quite democratic about this. If they announced a product that people thought was a bit naff, they wouldn't get the funding. So it's kind of put your money where your mouth is.
It's good for consumers because you get the products at cheaper prices.
Mm-hmm.
So if especially if you get in there quick, like, because obviously you get they have different. They're called rewards, reward tiers. So you get, you know, if you're within the first say 1,000 to buy the Core, you'll get it for $69, but then the next one will be $79 and there'll be a certain amount of them. And then when it actually retails, it'll be $99.
Yeah.
So that's really weird, because normally with Kickstarter, I associate it with expenditure, with you know, people that go in there early, they want it early, they want to support
something. Generally, you get it
pay over the odds.
Because you're fun, no, it's usually the opposite.
Generally, you get it at a cheaper price because you're helping them out.
It's interesting.
So
it's investment, isn't it? So okay. So moving on, or moving back to the devices themselves, where are we with smartwatches in general? Who here wears a smartwatch? Lewis, you do.
I do. Yeah. Me and David both have the Apple Watch.
And you both have the Apple Watch.
Yeah.
And Chris, you don't, and I don't particularly.
Yes. Well, I have a few different ones because I do a lot of our smartwatch reviews, not just because I'm some kind of smartwatch collector.
For now. But
I've got a couple of Android Wear smartwatches. So I've got the Moto 362 and Fossils one, which is basically the Moto 362 in a nicer design. And I don't use them a huge amount, partly because the battery life's not that good. But the one I'm wearing at the moment is the Withings Activité, which is not really a smartwatch. It's more of an activity tracker.
But it looks like a watch, doesn't it? That's the thing.
Yeah, it's a normal watch with an extra dial telling me how many steps I've taken.
Sure. I'm interested to know whether it's actually a good idea for a smartwatch to include activity or fitness stuff.
Because this is the main thing they've added.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the original Pebble, I can see the sort of unique selling point of that.
Yeah.
People, I think we might still be at the point where people want to have a separate activity tracker. They want to get, I mean, this is a separate topic, but a Fitbit or something, because the running accuracy on my Apple Watch is not brilliant. I've talked a lot of the time about how good it is at learning. When you take an iPhone with you, then it learns your stride length and stuff, and it gets a lot more accurate.
It's shocking that the Apple Watch doesn't have GPS, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying that.
It would have compromises attached to it if they did, completely. So this is the thing.
And the smartwatch I've worn the most is the Microsoft Band and the Microsoft Band 2, which there are some challenges with those devices, but what I like for me personally is the feature set, which is the basic smartwatch feature set, which is alerts and the ability to make some simple responses. But essentially for me, it's triaging messages. So I don't respond to messages. I don't get my phone out of my pocket all the time when I don't need to, because I can see what's coming through and I know I can ignore it.
Yeah.
But it's also, and I'm not wearing it now, and I principally wear it actually when I'm running, because it's got a GPS built in, and that means I don't have to take my phone out.
How is the GPS on that? Because my understanding is that GPS without a cellular attachment is sort of, it's not as good because it doesn't have the assisted GPS.
It
can take a while to get a signal.
Yeah,
and
so basically, but that's the same with all, I've got a few GPS running watches. Not unlike Chris, it's not because I'm some sort of weird collector, it's because I've reviewed a few over time. And if they're not connected to a phone with a cellular connection, you end up lurking around outside your house for 30 seconds looking like a weirdo, waiting for it to find the sky. If it's a sunny day or a clear night, no problem at all. If it's very cloudy, it might take like a couple of minutes. You can, with the Microsoft Band, and I'm sure the others are broadly similar, you can set off anyway and it claims it will sort of put a marker where you started and work it out. But I've found that to be fairly inaccurate. But in general, the GPS is pretty accurate, I would say.
But and you are a comparatively serious runner.
David, is what you want to say.
I would say the majority of people would not need...
Maybe
something to be as accurate as that.
But I think you need to be fairly accurate, though. If you're training for a marathon, even, or whatever, you want to know how far you've gone, don't you? And the problem with the traditional kind of activity band, or actually, I think the Apple Watch, in the way it learns, and I take your point about being able to compare your own performance with your own performance, is if you were training for a marathon or whatever, being half a mile out is potentially awful, you know. But generally speaking, are we fairly pro smartwatches?
I'm going with pro smartwatch.
I'm hugely pro smartwatch.
Yeah,
I'm like the big advocate in the office, I think. I wear this all the time, use the fitness stuff a lot, answer messages on it, very good for notifications. I was trying to get the game thing going on it for a while, but there are no good games on Apple Watch, unfortunately.
Sure.
I go through phases of kind of really enjoying using one, and then finding it really annoying and not really wanting it.
That's been my experience, actually, I must admit. There are times when I'm like... And also, I have the added complication of I have a watch that I really like and that I've worn for 15 years, so I'm going to keep wearing it. So I tend to end up wearing a smartwatch and a dumb watch, which feels a bit like a sort of Liberace style.
Is that two on the same wrist, or is that one on each?
I tend to go one on each, and it feels like I've got sort of amulets on. I feel like I'm like like Prince Adam from He-Man or something.
Chun-Li.
Yeah, like that person who I've never heard of.
Never heard of Chun-Li?
Look, we're going to drift. Shall we bring this conversation to an end by going around the room? You wear it well, or where is the humanity? Chris Martin.
You wear it well.
David Price.
You wear it well.
Lewis Painter.
You wear it well.
You wear it well. Great, we'll take a short break and then we'll come back to talk about hoverboards. It's hover, it's hover, it's hover, it's hover. Lewis Painter, which fad has gone hoverboard? I don't really know what to say at that. That took me by complete surprise.
Reply in song.
No. No, no one ever wants to hear that. Hoverboards are gone. You know, considering about 6 months ago, they were the biggest thing on the market.
At Christmas, they were huge for us, weren't they? Insane. I mean, yeah. Everyone's reading about hoverboards. Yeah.
You know, it was a top red story on the site every day for weeks because, you know, everyone wanted to get a hoverboard for Christmas. It was mainly the kids, you know, the parents buying them for the kids for Christmas.
Well, I think there was quite a large constituency of elderly people who were replacing their mobility scooters with hoverboards. No, sorry, that was a dream.
Do you know what I'm saying? That I did see a story once about how hoverboards would help the elderly get around, but yeah. Obviously, more stable version than the one that we have on the market at the moment.
Because... With three wheels. Maybe it's blue. Okay.
But yeah, I'd be by about January, February, gone. Nothing. No one's buying them. No one's looking for them. Nobody really cares anymore. I mean, I still see people kind of ride them every now and again, but I don't really see as many people using them as I did 6 months ago. So
we're really... definitely not seeing the interest on the site on PC Advisor, are we?
No, yeah.
So what happened?
They all blew up.
Right.
In unison, no.
And that's never good for a product unless it's a bomb.
Exactly. There's always one exception. Or fireworks.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, basically what happened was the you know, people started getting excited about the hoverboards around, I think it was like summer last year, the hype started to build, which was when people started manufacturing cheaply made ones. You know, so you could, instead of paying £800 for them, you could pick them up for about £150, £250 on Amazon, places like that. And obviously... For a price like that, you're going to go for it, because why would you pay £800 when you can pay £250?
And the idea is pretty cool.
Yeah, you know.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think it's deeply uncool.
Right.
I think. But anyway, that's just me. Sorry.
No, I'm interested in that.
I know a lot of people disagreed with me, but I think the I'm still seeing, I would say, quite a lot of people on hoverboards.
Really?
I mean, compared to 6 months ago, mm-hmm. But they just look terrible. And I'm a naturally aesthetically
cool guy.
aesthetically reactionary person in that I like things to be the same as they used to be visually. And if I see people looking different, that I don't like that. But it just looks silly, and you're sort of wobbling a bit, and you're going along looking like you're, you know, Buck Rogers or something. And everybody, I think, is going to be judging you mentally. And I know these are terrible things to say, but you know, when we're talking about cool, we are being superficial.
Absolutely.
And I think
completely arbitrary as well. So,
yeah.
So I think that is one of the main issues. Because obviously I have one.
I didn't mean any, obviously.
Yeah, no, I've taken
Lewis
complete disrespect
cool.
there. I'm going to leave the room now. I've had enough of this. This is victimization. No. Yeah, you don't really, because obviously they're illegal to use on the roads in the UK, so you don't really want to use them just in case you get in a bit of trouble. I mean, you won't really get into much trouble, but...
They're illegal?
Yeah, you can't use them on the roads or on the pavements in the
UK. I didn't know they were illegal.
Yeah.
Well, suddenly they become cool.
Well, they're not roadworthy. This is an interesting point. They're not roadworthy, and they're not taxed, so you can't use them on the road. But they're powered vehicles, mm-hmm. so you're not supposed to use them on the path either.
Mm-hmm. Where do mobility scooters come in that?
Well,
it's a massive grey area.
Exactly. It's not so much that they're illegal, it's that there's no legislation. So arguably you could be done either way. You shouldn't ride them on the road, I would say.
Anyone not on the road.
You should ride a skateboard on the road.
No. But you know, you just feel self-conscious because you know that everyone around you is looking at you like, what a twat.
Well, it's like when I got the 12.9-inch iPad and I didn't use it for probably 3 months on the tube. I stuck with my iPad Air 2 because everybody's looking at you and you don't want to be the guy that's there.
They're just trying to work out the perspective. No, yeah. They're trying to work out whether you're a really tiny man.
But now it's become a bit more commonplace, then now I'm willing to use it. But I don't want to be the centre of attention, which a lot of the time clashes with technology ownership because I think a lot of companies are aiming for that. They're aiming for you to be... You know, Mr. Cool sitting there on the tube with your unique product.
So
I don't want that.
Everybody was hoverboarding around, you wouldn't feel so bad about doing it.
You're making me sound like I'm just following the crowd now, but I think if everybody was doing it, I'd still probably be the last to pick it up.
I feel similarly. Like, I had to go on Lewis's round the office and out on the balcony, and I thought it was like mega loads of fun. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't go and do it outside in front of people. Who I don't know.
Exactly. Finally, we understand why David still comes to work on a horse. I've always wondered about that.
That would be cool. Horses are cool.
So there were problems with reliability and lots of hoverboards blew up. And then, as discussed, potentially the idea of it isn't quite the reality. And we're talking about central London as well, where people do weird stuff all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Out in the provinces, I suspect you might feel even more exposed pootling around in one of these things. So is that it? Do we think hoverboards were a fad, or surely it's not the end for the hoverboard, is it?
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I mean, I've been trying to look and see if there's anything, you know, coming out this year, like new hoverboards, because obviously, I'm not 100% sure, but I feel like the issue with the first generation of hoverboards was the design of them.
Sure.
Made a bad design. Everyone copied it, and the battery's really bad, and that's why they blew up. Yeah,
it's all overheating. Essentially, that's how it works in my mind. I'm sure that's not technically how it is, but that's essentially what I feel.
So basically, you need a company like Apple to come in with its sense of reliability and reputation, make a better design, fix the problems, and call it the iBoard, and get all of the money.
The Apple iBoard. That's what I've got my money on. Connects to your Apple Watch and your phone. You can summon it to you.
But I'm sort of serious in that if a single big company with a massive reputation put its reputation on the line and said, this is reliable and isn't going to be engulfed in flames.
Yeah. But it doesn't have to be a tech company, does it? It could be a bike manufacturer or a car manufacturer.
Surely they're in a better position to make something better.
So.
Yeah. Right. I mean, Segway are still producing Segways. You know, they've got the smaller Segways now where they can kind of control by the knee. So you've still got, they look like the first generation hoverboards with a stick in the middle.
Right.
That you rest your knee, so you kind of, when you've got your knees together, you bend to the side and each side and...
Lewis is making amazing gestures.
Yeah, it's always really frustrating because no one can see what I'm doing.
Okay, so we have some hope for the future of hoverboards. I was just wondering about other types of products that have had a kind of blaze of publicity and then like a match... blazed out. I don't know what the phrase is. You know, and I was trying to think, smartwatches and wearables, actually, there's an element of this because there's a lot of hype. And then if you look around the wrists of normal people, there aren't that many smartwatches out there. There are some.
Here's a controversial one. Tablets.
Tablets was top of my list. Tablets was top of my list. I was hoping to get a rise out of you as the iPad guy.
I fully agree. I'm a massive iPad guy, just like I am a massive smartwatch guy. But I know that, it was a definite peak. People realised that what they did on their tablets they could mostly do on a laptop or on a larger smartphone. Those two things from either side cannibalise the market. They don't need to change it very often. It's still popular for particular sort of usage, which is, you know, you're on the sofa and you just want to check the internet. Yeah. But for that, you don't need to.
I've said this before, I use my iPad every day, but I use it essentially as an ebook reader that I can do some other stuff on, occasionally play games on. And it's first gen iPad mini. And I'm never going to replace it until I need to replace it.
This is the thing, like you said, they last a lot longer, so you don't feel like you need to buy a new one. Yeah, and the fact that smartphone screens have put, you know, are generally between 5 and 6 inches now, most people just feel like that's enough. Yeah. They don't feel the need to switch to the tablet to get a bigger screen because it's not that different.
But I was thinking of another couple of product types which actually the tablet has. Replaced, or a tablet and a smartphone, and between them have replaced. Do you remember the was it personal internet device or
Pocket Surfer? Was that what it's called?
Pocket Surfer was one of those, but slightly less complicated than Pocket Surfer. You had like HP's compact things, and
you mean like Palm Pilots?
Palm Pilots, yeah. And then organizers, which were a slightly different version of the same thing. Smartphones just wiped those things out. Apps, actually, in some ways, I mean, apps are incredibly useful and. Apps that do stuff go from strength to strength, but there was this whole period where everything was going to be an app. Every website was going to be an app. We got rid of all our apps because what was the point? The websites work perfectly well on mobile. But then again, there's still this afterlife. So I suppose we might be looking at a similar thing with hoverboards, just trying to bring this to a close. But, you know, there was a huge amount of hype last year, probably too much hype, and the products weren't up to it. But the products are getting better, the interest will still be there, and we may see a longer-term future for hoverboards.
I keep thinking that drones are going to do the same.
I was about to mention drones, because Xiaomi just announced their drone yesterday, and that's, like, way cheaper than the DJI equivalent, which, like, some of the DJI drones are like $2,000 or at least $1,000, and the ones that are under grand are still quite close to that sum, which is that's a lot of money to spend on something that's probably for a lot of people a hobby. Obviously lots of film companies I imagine are buying them and using them for
it's the practical usage. So now, I mean, every single TV program you see has got an aerial shot because drones have democratized that. They're making it really cheap to take those kind of shots.
But the Mi drone is like under $500 for like the 4K camera model. It looks really good.
So again, I suspect drones as this kind of consumer gadget, there'll be a flaring and then less interest. But as a technical product, they've got a long and interesting future, I guess. Okay, let's go around the room. Hover bother or boards game? Boards game is the positive one.
Hover bother.
David Price.
Was it hover bother?
Yeah.
Hover bother.
Lewis Painter.
Okay, boards game.
Board is game. Brilliant. We'll take a second and then we're going to come back and talk about Twitter. He rocks in the treetops all day long, hopping and a-bopping and a-singing his song. All the little birdies on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. David Price. Why are those who like to go a-tweeting taking to Twitter to go a-bleating?
Well, we don't like change on Twitter, and change is coming. Twitter has announced some fairly significant changes coming up. They haven't set a date for these yet. But
they're going to leak them out, aren't they, the weasels?
Yes. In the next... Why are they weasels? It's going to be happening in the next couple of months. I think that's the phrase they've used. In some ways, they're not as huge, these changes, as when they changed the timeline from being strictly chronological to algorithmic. But they're quite major in their own way.
Sure.
So we've got the 140 characters... limit is now a bit less strict. I say now, it's going to be a bit less strict.
So instead of the Armageddon that the hardcore Twitter users were worried about, which would break the essential nature of Twitter of just extending that number of 140 characters, it's things like you can append images and links and they won't count as part
of it. Yes, exactly. And a critical part of that is that if you start the tweet with @ and then somebody's name.
Yeah.
That doesn't count towards it, and you can do multiple of those. So you can tag in; it becomes more like tagging in, and you can tag in up to 50 people.
A bit like Facebook.
Facebook. Yeah, that's interesting. Exactly. So this means, and well, one aspect of that is that it's going to be easier than ever to dogpile somebody if you want to.
What?
Dogpiling is when a load of people jump on somebody on Twitter and all fill their mentions with horrific abuse. Usually.
So like a Twitter DDoS attack?
Yeah, sort of. So it's like if you wrote on Twitter, I think the Apple Watch isn't very good, and then a load of Apple fans would then jump on you, possibly. I don't think they would actually dogpile you. It's usually something a bit more serious than that.
Where does that name come from?
Well, it's like dogs jumping on... You never had pile on when you were at school?
Yeah, but
pile
not on. With dogs. Yeah, do you go to school with dogs?
Dogs are more... Well, what's wrong with that?
Riding a horse with dogs piled up on top of you.
Pretty sure we called that bundle.
We called that pylon.
We had bundle and pylon.
Okay.
From the Midlands, we had both.
No. You went to one of those funny Midlands Harry school. Potter schools.
Yeah. In the Midlands. I'm going to stress that bit. what else? GIFs and videos and polls and quoted tweets and all those sort of things.
So in effect, this is increasing the character rate without increasing the...
It sort of is, yeah. It basically, it's encouraging you to use Twitter more as a publishing platform rather than just So originally you had your 140 characters, and if you wanted to include a poll or a quoted tweet or a picture or whatever, you knew you were compromising what you got to say.
Yeah.
But now it's like, well, it's a free-for-all, so you might as well put all that stuff in. And they want you to use that to make it more like Facebook, blatantly.
Oh, well, that's a question I was going to ask. Why are they doing this?
Yeah, well, they don't make as much money as Facebook. We had we had Scott in a few weeks ago talking about Facebook's revenue, which is pretty silly money. Whereas Twitter, I think you were saying to me earlier, doesn't really seem to have a strong business model.
Well, not really. I mean, the idea is broadly similar to Facebook in that essentially it's sponsored posts as advertising.
Yeah, it's promoted tweets, isn't it?
But it's got two problems as opposed to Facebook, which is on the one hand, Facebook is this huge data gathering exercise about real people, whereas Twitter is kind of you create a persona. So that makes it less attractive from an advertising point of view. But also, yeah, it's not as rich media, so you can't do as much, and it's not as arresting because Twitter. One of the great things about Twitter, one of the reasons I love using Twitter, is it's constant flow. Things become memes or they become trends, but individual posts rarely kind of stick around. It's quite ephemeral.
And everything they've been doing has been towards taking that away. Yeah. Even though they say they like the ephemerality. The algorithmic thing that I talked about earlier, which happened earlier this year, that's all based around while you were away,
yeah.
And then they have popular tweets that do stick around, and you can pin tweets at the top of your
things.
Timeline
I do quite
now as
like
well.
That. I mean, I didn't like the idea of it, but because I do check into Twitter intermittently throughout the day, I quite like the fact that I'll see, oh, Lewis has tweeted something amusing, and it's been liked a few times, or. David's tweeted something in defence of Apple.
I thought you'd say in defence.
David's tweeted something in defence.
What I like about Twitter is that it's unique.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they're getting away from that. Is that Twitter at its core is a very pure and a very niche product.
Yeah.
That got big. And what was interesting about Twitter early on is that everything that happened on it was essentially improvised by the early adopters.
Yeah.
All the stuff like retweets and at username, it's all stuff that people just thought, well, this is something we could do with this very, very simple platform.
Even
and
the idea
they took it on board.
Of live tweeting, which has become the live blog, came just from people just doing it. On Twitter.
And hashtags as well.
But then also Facebook's complicit in this because if you remember, Facebook used to be, your status used to be your name is... And then you wrote, so it seems really happy today.
I've got loads of time hops that come up and just like they just start like that. It's really weird.
Somewhat poignantly from 8 years ago, is glad that the playoff final was in Wembley rather than Cardiff because I had less far to travel back from watching Leeds get beat by Doncaster. Tough times. But yeah, and then they changed that to be more like Twitter, which is you posted stuff, you posted updates rather than status updates. Which potentially has limited Twitter's growth because although it's not the same and it's not as good in many ways, it's close enough that I don't think it took away some of the uniqueness of Twitter.
I find Twitter way less annoying than Facebook these days.
Absolutely.
Although I do just want to be able to edit tweets.
Why would you edit tweets though? This is what we're talking about it's gone. You write the tweet, then it's gone.
Because often Chris just puts racist invective up there and then regrets it. He does not
delete that.
I need to clear that.
Unfortunately, people might screenshot
just
it.
Just like a link gone slightly wrong or a spelling mistake or something like that. So you have to go and delete it and then do the whole thing again.
I would argue that actually on Twitter, it's okay to say, oh, last tweet had an error in it.
Yeah.
Here's the right version.
Just delete
kind
it.
Of thing.
Don't even mention it. I don't even mention it. I'll just delete the last tweet, put it out again. If anybody saw it. Who cares? It's Twitter.
It's not the end of the world. It'd
some third-party
nice.
Apps allow you to edit your tweets, and they'll go through the whole process of deleting the old one and replacing it with the new one for you, but I don't think the official Twitter app lets you do it.
Interesting. The one I always used to do was, because I have access to Macworld's Twitter account, is that I would send a personal tweet.
You've done that many times.
Well, it was, and I've never our former colleague David Court was the best at doing that, but I did it quite a lot.
Screw this I really hate working at Macworld.
Exactly, yeah. Then you just delete it, and a couple of people saw it. Actually, several thousand people saw it, but never mind.
So, is this going to work? I mean, is this going to, because Twitter needs to get bigger. I was saying earlier on today, we were talking about the relative sizes of social networks because that's how we hang around here. LinkedIn claims more than 400 million active users. Twitter claims about 310 million active users. That's a lot of people, but it's chump change compared to Facebook. And there are lots of countries where Twitter just doesn't really impact. Certainly in Scandinavia, it's not a big deal. And
it's got weird penetration. Is it certain communities?
Whoa, you've got weird penetration.
some communities of people, everybody's on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like cricketers, for example. It's very funny that they published the test squad for the second test for England.
Yeah.
And every one of them had a Twitter account except Alastair Cook. And it just went, Cook. And then all the rest of them, it's like at
risk. He's too busy lambing, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, farmers don't generally go on Twitter.
But also, I mean, I was saying this earlier as well, like, I think, and we're part of this, but Twitter gets more media coverage than it probably deserves because media people use Twitter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And celebrities use Twitter.
Yeah, all celebrities are on Twitter.
Yeah.
Why aren't farmers on Twitter? I only say this because I know farmers who are on Twitter.
I don't know any farmers.
Called out.
Okay. I have friends with dairy farms and they're on Twitter.
See, if I'd said that on Twitter, I would have got dogpiled.
My feed got cowpiled. My feed is quite interesting because it's all like tech brands, tech journalists, like breweries and stuff because I'm into beer. And then my friend occasionally tweeting some stuff about cows that I don't understand.
Wow. Yeah, I want to see your feed.
You can all go follow him.
Yeah. So Twitter is murdering its darlings to attempt to replicate Facebook's commercial success. Is it going to work?
Yeah, it might do. I've never understood why.
Definitive answer.
Can we leave it at that? I've always wondered why, and this may reveal my lack of financial acumen, but why companies have to grow. Why you can't just have a niche product. Why you can't just say, this is a really good product. It's good for 100 million people. You know,
they could have stopped to make money out of it. To pay for it.
But at that stage, you know.
But he never
It's when you have the public buyout, then you need to start making money for shareholders or whatever. Yeah. But if you just start out and it's your own company, it's a startup. You get to 100 million users and you start putting in promoted tweets.
Someone's
you're easily
you.
Making enough money to pay back the initial funding.
No.
From 100 million users?
No, it never has. Because if you think about it, how was Twitter making money when it had 100 million users? It didn't. I mean, it's quite a controversial thing with the users when they first brought in the sponsored tweet. In fact, the people who make money off Twitter are companies who just put in sponsored tweets with hashtag ad. And Twitter's not making anything out of that. Mm. It's a challenged model, and it there will have been some funding, even if it's a few £1,000s to get it off the ground, that they need to repay back. And as you get bigger, that becomes more of a deal. And yeah, now it's IPO'd. So
should we have a whip round
for Twitter?
Yeah,
I'd buy Twitter. I think if I give them £5,000, I could buy them. You know, if paid back the funding, that seems to maybe.
Okay, again, as David started my sentence, you maybe don't understand the commercial aspects. But no, I take your point. You don't necessarily need to, growth is not always a good thing. User numbers growth is not always a good thing. But they're in this kind of, it's almost like an algorithm where they need to make a certain amount from each user, and they therefore need a certain number of users in order to be a profitable product. Let's face it, most social network products, most startup products never actually get into serious profit. So, but as I say, that's where the other challenge is, because if you're Facebook, you actually didn't need to make a profit to have a huge IPO, because you've got so much data about so many people, you can be comfortable that it's probably going to make money at some stage. Twitter doesn't have that.
What's an IPO?
When you go public, when you sell shares in an initial something
public offering.
Initial public offering.
See, I'm going to pretend that I knew that and asked you just for the listeners.
Nice. Nice journalism. Okay, let's go around the room. Neat tweets or reet or bunch of twits?
Neat tweets or reet.
David Price.
I'm on the fence. Oh. I know. But
we almost had a whole pod of us answering the questions properly. Yeah.
You're a tweeting bird. You're like a bird on a wire.
I both love and hate Twitter.
Oh.
There's a lot about it that I think is great, but it has been eroded.
So, neat tweets or reet or a bunch of tweets, or you can be a tweeting bird on a wire.
I'll be a tweeting bird on the wire.
Lewis Painter.
Was it neat tweets or reet?
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Lovely stuff. Well, thank you very much, guys, and thanks for listening to this edition of the UK Tech Weekly podcast. Do get in touch, let us know your thoughts and your opinions, and to shake us down for some of that cash we have. Or, indeed, if you're interested in advertising. Tweet us at UK Tech Podcast, if Twitter still exists, or either email editor@idg.co.uk. We will be back next week with more informed and uninformed opinion on the hottest topics in tech. So find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and all the other places from which you source podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe, review us, and tell your friends. Tell your friends. Until then, say goodbye, team.
Goodbye, team.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.